Look at family, and today's message, the hard work of love. Pray with me. Father in heaven, the book of Ruth, like all 66 books of the Bible, are given for instruction, for training, for equipping in righteousness, that your people may be realizing your incredible love, your power through a relationship with you, and empowered to draw a lost world to a loving God that waits to embrace and save all. We pray that your Spirit will speak to each of us this morning, and our dear Pastor Sam, as he shares with our brothers and sisters at the Spanish Church today. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, for falling afresh on us. In Christ, the Son of God, we pray. Amen. Reading from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, the judges ruled Israel. And during their rule, there was a time in the land when there was not enough food to eat. A man named Elimelech left Bethlehem in Judah and moved to the country of Moab. He took his wife and his two sons with him. His wife was named Naomi. His two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. These people were from the Ephrathah district around Bethlehem in Judah. The family traveled to Moab and lived there. And later, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, died. So only Naomi and her two sons were left. Ruth. The title of the eighth book of the Bible is Ruth, but it's really more a book about Naomi. And above all, a book about God. As we read this morning during our call to worship, the book of Ruth reveals a story about God's grace in the midst of hard, difficult circumstances. Ruth's story occurred during the time of the judges, a time of disobedience, idolatry, and violence. Yet even in times of crisis and despair, there are those who follow God and through whom God works. And no matter how discouraging or antagonistic this world may seem, there have always been a people like you who seek to follow God. God will use anyone who is open to him to achieve his purposes, such as Ruth, who was a Moabite, and Boaz, a descendant of Rahab, a former prostitute from Jericho. Nevertheless, their offspring continued the family line through which the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came into our world. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters, as we ponder the story of Ruth this Sabbath. And at the very beginning, I invite you to consider a personal application and embracing it before the sermon concludes. And that is, God is at work in our world, and God wants to use each of us just as he used Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, to bring family and friends to him. Ruth chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 read, "These sons married women from Moab. The name of one wife was Orpah. The name of the other wife was Ruth. Naomi and her sons lived in Moab about 10 years. And then Mahlon and Chilion also died. So Naomi was left alone with her husband and her two sons." Left without them, both husband and two sons. But while Naomi was in Moab, she heard that the Lord had taken care of her people, his people, and he had given food to them in Judah. So Naomi got ready to leave Moab and go back home. And the wives of Naomi's sons, Naomi's daughter-in-laws, also got ready to go with her. Thank you. When someone says, "Let me tell you about my mother-in-law," we expect some kind of negative statements or humorous anecdotes, don't we? Because the mother-in-law caricature has been a standard centerpiece of ridicule and comedy for years. The book of Ruth, however, tells a different story about mother-in-laws. And in particular, a mother-in-law named Naomi. My mother-in-law, named Carol Jones, had a birthday yesterday, 86 years of life, which our family will be celebrating Sunday morning. She's the person who God put in my heart to make a move to a land in Judah, known in modern times as North San Diego County. Our family had all gathered this past Thanksgiving at her home in Escondido. And as I drove home that following Sunday, Allison stayed by an additional week to help her parents, including taking her mom to a physician's appointment Monday after Thanksgiving, when her mother was ordered to be wheelchair-bound for the next 2 months due to a fracture in her left foot that both she and physician were not wanting the same healing pathway to follow in her right foot with a crooked mend. As I listened to the results of that physician's visit, as Allison and I spoke on the phone that night, I was convicted. After 36 years of my wife following me around the country with ministry in 5 different states, perhaps it was time to give back to the one who had so kindly joined me those 36 years, saying, "Honey, the Lord's given us a call." So, praying that God would send us as close as possible to Escondido in the months ahead, I sent a resume off to Southeastern California Conference. 1 week went by, no reply. I wonder if they got the email. 2 weeks went by, got on the phone with a faith-filled son who suggested, "It's all right. Maybe, though, you should contact the president's secretary and see if they got it." 3 weeks went by. And exactly 3 weeks after I had sent the email to the date on our 36th anniversary, which SECC didn't have a clue about, nor did they know that we had been married in Escondido 36 years ago, on our anniversary, I received a phone call inquiring if I would consider interviewing at a church that no one, none of you, nor myself, had ever thought possible. Incredible, you say, which we said too. It was so extraordinary, it seemed impossible. What? That church that they've treasured, that young pastor, now even being willing to consider his old man? Yet thanks not so much to Pastor Jeff, as many of you may have thought, but Pastor Jeff's maternal grandmother, my mother-in-law, and our God, with whom nothing is impossible. And 4 months to the date we began, March 14, brings us to today, July 14, along with Ruth, praising God for my mother-in-law and each of you. Verse 7 of Ruth chapter 1 reads, "So they left the place where they had lived, and they started back on the way to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back home. Each of you go to your own mother's house. You've been kind to me and to my sons who are now dead. I hope the Lord will also be kind to you in the same way. And I hope the Lord will give you another home and a new husband.' And then Naomi kissed the women, and they began to cry out loud. And her daughters-in-law said to her, 'No, we will go with you to your people.'" Interesting. Go back home. There was almost nothing worse than being a widow in the ancient world. Widows were taken advantage of and ignored. They were almost always poverty-stricken. And God's law, while it provided that the nearest relative of the deceased husband should care for his widow, Naomi had no relatives in Moab, and she did not know if any of her relatives in Israel were alive. I like how Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church has consideration for those of you who have lost your spouses. Did you notice in this week's calendar of events, Widows Might is meeting this Monday night at 5 p.m.? I was recently reminded by my dear senior pastor and by a few of you, and the Spirit of God spoke to me saying, "How come you haven't showed up for Widow's Might, Brother Harper?" I'll look forward to seeing you this Monday night at 5 p.m. Widows. Perhaps we should all say with both daughters-in-law Ruth and Oprah, "We're in. We're coming with you, Naomi. We will not depart from you." But is that what happened? Reading verse 11 through 13. "But Naomi said, 'My daughters, go back to your own homes. Why do you want to go with me? I cannot give birth to more sons to give you new husbands. So go back to your own homes. I'm too old to have another husband. But even if I had another husband tonight, and if I had more sons, it wouldn't help. Would you wait until the babies were grown into men? Would you live for so many years without husbands? Don't do this thing. My life is much too sad for you to share, because the Lord is against me." Go back to your homes. Even in her desperate situation, Naomi had a selfless attitude, didn't she? Although she had decided to return to Israel, she encouraged her daughter-in-laws, Oprah and Ruth, to stay in Moab. Start your lives over again, even though this world would mean hardship for her without them. Like Naomi, we too must consider the needs of our family members and not just our own needs. And as Naomi discovered, when we act not selfishly, but selflessly, others may be encouraged to follow our Spirit-empowered example. I've been moved these past weeks and months as I've listened to your stories And how many of you Fallbrook members are unselfish toward your own families, despite the discomfort, the difficulty that that has personally brought you? Inviting grandchildren to live with you despite choices that they may have made that perhaps haven't been the best. Continuing to love and pray for your adult children who appear to, at least at present, no longer be trusting God. Caring for aging spouses and parents, or challenging siblings who at times are indeed difficult to deal with. In multiple ways, you model the story of Ruth that we're looking at this Sabbath day. But perhaps a behind-the-scenes look begs the question, so how do we love our family members when we don't feel like it? When, like Naomi, we feel the Lord is against us? Where do we turn when we don't see answers to prayer when we'd like for them to occur? When we don't find God responding in a way that we were hoping for? When we've been perhaps abused, betrayed ourselves? When we feel bitter toward our own flesh and it's not getting better, how do we love our difficult family members then? When our in-laws feel like outlaws and they're so stinking unlovable, we'd like for them to ride on out of town before sundown. The book of Ruth shines a spotlight today on what has, or currently is, or most likely will someday become our reality, dealing with the difficulty of challenging family members and engaging in the hard work of love. The book of Ruth, even in the first chapter, and only these 16 verses we're considering today, offers a narrative with a mother-in-law, like my mother-in-law, who kindly and patiently portrays a kind of radical love in the Hebrew referred to as, prayer meeting members who've joined us Wednesday nights, Hesed love, the kind of love that the Son of God revealed, that is loyal and steadfast, selfless and sacrificial, as can be discovered with what comes next in Ruth's story. Where the women cried together again? Yes. God's Hesed love was being displayed even right here. Just as it was with God's Son in John chapter 11, when, with the shortest verse in the Bible telling us, Jesus wept. And when, as many Seventh-day Adventists believe, at the conclusion of the great controversy, at the end of the 1,000 years, during the executive judgment, when the judgment known as the investigative judgment occurring now and the decisions made will be reviewed during the millennium, will be executed or carried out at the end of the 1,000 years, many believe God Himself will weep for those who have said no to Him and betrayed His universe's government. I too believe it will not be until after those minutes and hours at the conclusion of the executive judgment, when the fulfillment of no more weeping, no more pain, no more death will be experienced as timeless eternity begins. Will it not be true? God will shed tears for those whom He's saying goodbye to for the last time. the women cried together again. What if, when we're wrestling with the challenges of family life and dealing with really tough, difficult family matters, what if instead of fleeing, of pointing the finger and accusing that I, in the last month, have regretfully done and asked for forgiveness for my own beloved spouse, what if instead we gathered like mother-in-law and daughter-in-laws and cried together again? Have you ever watched a relative cry? A loved one weep? I saw my father cry for the first time at our Escondido wedding. The service had concluded. Beautiful luncheon that the family had prepared. We were just coming out of a room in the church where we were ready to depart for the honeymoon, and my father was there to greet us. Put his hands up to our cheeks. Said, "This has been the most special day of my life. And for the first time in my 28 years of life, I saw a few tears descend down his cheeks. Stirred me deeply, as it still does today." How do you respond when someone you love cries? How does it call you out to engage? As a chaplain with Adventist Health prior to this privileged role at Fallbrook, I spent numerous occasions both watching people cry and shedding tears with them, and just trying to shut up and be quiet, which I confess I'm still a work in progress on. Tears came from a God who was displaying empathy for these blessed family members who were discovering news they didn't want to hear about family they loved, friends they cared for, or about their own lives and how health was coming to an end for them soon. I've tried to exhibit over the years, but in recent times have failed. Trying to fix it rather than to listen. Suggesting what someone ought to do. Or perhaps even poking a bit of fun, so I thought, that turned out to not be funny at all. In a moment that really called for the deepest of empathy and quieting of words. Crying together again. That's part of our answer to experience Hesed love, isn't it? To be able to experience the power of the Holy Ghost that He wants to give to us in this early and soon-to-be latter rain experience as we look forward to Pentecost, which we're studying about this quarter, and for Sabbath school today, being brought forth in the 21st century while we are still alive, anticipating the second coming of Christ. Could it be that crying more often together might provide one of a number of pathways for how we exhibit God's Hesed love? As the psalmist declared in chapter 30, verse 5, "Weeping may lodge for a night, but joy comes with the morning." So what if, like in-laws in the book of Ruth did, we cried together again? Naomi has no other sons for her daughter-in-laws to marry. As we can read in the red print Ruth 1, verse 14, then Orpah kissed Naomi goodbye, but Ruth held on to her. And Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law is going back to her own people and her own gods. Go back with her. In between the lines, can we read Naomi with no other sons for her daughter-in-laws to marry? Yes, is encouraging them to remain in their homeland and remarry, but no doubt wrestling with Orpah's decision to stay, which was her right, wasn't it? Application for us today. We too have to let family members make and live out choices that they make, and help them honor those choices, as painful as it may be to watch them go down that pathway. We must honor their gift of choice and let them go. Isn't that what God does for each of us when we turn away from Him? He doesn't trip us, doesn't strangle us, doesn't stop us, doesn't tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, what about me? Ruth, on the other hand, was willing to give up the possibility of security and children in order to care for Naomi, to engage in God's hesed love. She stayed when her sister-in-law decided, I'm not staying with mother-in-law. Ruth did. Which reminds me how the Father and the Son and the Spirit of God remain in union together as they engage in their love affair with a planet in rebellion. Does that move you too this Sabbath? To think of all the people who have spurned God, who said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I don't believe in Him. As the rich old uncle in Uncle Dan's children's story today. And yet, he experienced a change through a child. Is it possible that our children can be used by God to lead us and our family members back to reunion with each other and with Him? As you're invited to read this Sabbath, this weekend, the remaining verses and chapters in the book of Ruth, God does bless Ruth with a husband, Boaz. And He blesses Boaz and Ruth with a child. Amazing turn of events. And God uses that child to serve in the ancestral line for who? The Son of God, who is coming back again. Praise God for how He works with hard love in families. In the past, families like ours in the present, and families throughout the future. How does that speak to you about an enduring, selfless love that will not let us go? Ruth said, don't ask me to leave you. Don't beg me not to follow you. Every place you go, I will go. Every place you live, I will live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Ruth was a Moabitess, but that didn't stop her from worshiping the true God. Nor did it stop God from accepting her worship and blessing her abundantly. What does that tell us about God's desire for those who don't believe the way that we do? The Jews were not the only people that God loved. Yet God chose them and that people group to be the group whom He would send His Son to reveal the truths about His character. Fulfilled with the Son of God being born as a Jew, but trying to help the disciples and the Jews understand his message of reconciliation was for an entire planet gone astray. All who will come unto him, weary and heavy laden, regardless of race, nationality, or gender, are welcomed into his rest. And so it is the book of Ruth reveals an amazing example of God's impartiality exhibited through this difficult work of loving like Christ loves us in our families, which he calls us to exhibit through faith and trust in him. Like Ruth exhibited, belonging to a despised race, at least despised by God's people in Israel, she was blessed for her faithfulness to her mother-in-law and family. And she became a great-grandmother of King David, just like my mother-in-law has become a great-grandma to the likes of boys named Judah and Levi. And Ruth, as we've identified previously, would be a direct ancestor. What a privilege to the Son of God himself, which we too, through adoption as sons and daughters of God, and our sons and daughters and other families that we continue to pray for and seek to love, can someday be fully adopted and be at that scene when Christ returns. And so as we conclude this Sabbath, be encouraged. Don't leave Jesus in your struggles with your family. Every place he goes, you go. Keep praying that your people will be God's people. Keep loving with Christ's Hesed love working through you by the power of his Spirit, that each of your family members will one day choose or re-choose for the true God to be their God. And be encouraged in the midst of severe hardship like Naomi and Ruth experienced, just as revealed in the verses and chapters I hope you'll reread today. God will provide and empower you to engage in the work of hard love amongst your family, just as was revealed in the book of Ruth. Amen. You're invited to turn to hymn 367 if you'd like to sing harmony or follow along on the screen as we sing Rescue the Perishing. Would you stand together as we sing?